Sport and the Law on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. For Bryden's Lawyers, let our team of professionals help with your legal matter.
Morning, Lee.
Morning, Greg. Morning, Andrew. Always a pleasure to be with you both.
Yeah, great to have you on. Now, Isaiah Papali'i is coming out with some statements. I've got no doubt that you heard them last night. Let's just have a listen.
Kind of for my manager to look after, and even if I don't stay here or I do go next year, I want to make sure that this year has no regrets. I think it was the coaching action that went on, and when I went and did sign, it was talking to Madge, and he's an awesome coach. I kind of rattled the cage a bit, and I guess you had to have those conversations, and I guess that was a massive factor for me. I reckon somewhere in the off season, because let this distract me at the moment, because we have a massive opportunity and I don't want to left any stone unturned.
Now, as the Tigers chairman, I've got no doubt that your phone ran hot last night after that interview. What's your reply to that?
Well, it did run hot last night and this morning. I've spoken with our CEO, and I don't want to speculate in a public forum exactly as to what Isaiah was intending to convey by those remarks. So we'll seek clarification today from his manager, but I don't put a lot of stock into it. I think what he was trying to say, I think if I read him correctly, is that he wants to focus on this year with Parramatta, which is fair enough. I would expect nothing different. But it's well known that we enjoy a contractual relationship with Isaiah, and we very much look forward to welcoming him to the club in 2023.
Well,
you'd like an answer from him, but like a little sooner than the off-season.
I expect there'll be phone calls made this morning for clarification, just to provide an opportunity for Isaiah and his manager to provide a little bit more depth to those comments last night. And as I say, but we're very comfortable where we sit. Isaiah has contracted with the West Tigers for 3 years, commencing 1 November. And as I say, we look forward to seeing him.
Now, we'll have to probe just a little further on behalf of Tigers fans, and they're stacked up on their decks, and others saying, look at the Roosters, Nick Politis gave Latrell Mitchell 7 days, whatever. If you got a Dorothy Dix answer from his manager today, have you thought about a deadline? Like saying, well, we do need to know. We do. You can't just be ducking and weaving here. I'm afraid, Lee, I don't cop the it's a distraction. That's not fair. He not fair to anyone here. He can find a day during his week on, maybe on his day off. He can sit down and understand there was a contract signed. Am I going to honour it or not? I'm sorry, I'm getting hard here, and I'm probably maybe speaking on behalf of a lot of Tigers fans here.
No, I don't necessarily disagree. But as I say, I don't put a lot of stock into what he was saying so far as it being anti-West Tigers or anti-contractual obligations. I think he may have been speculating as such about where his mindset is at the moment so far as his commitment to the rest of this year is with Parramatta. But as I say, if he wanted to say more, I'm sure he will, either himself directly or through his manager, and we'll deal with it. But at the moment, though, I don't want to read into his comments. I don't want to create any angst, of course, between the club and the player. So I'll try and put the most positive spin on it and just say that he's focused on the rest of this year. But as I say, we have a contract. It's in black and white. It's been signed by both parties, and we're very comfortable where we sit.
Okay, the Tigers 2 points against the Cowboys, they're gone, but now they're officially gone. No legal action?
That's correct, Greg. We went and met with the representatives of the NRL last week. It was a very robust discussion. All of the source material that we had requested was available. We satisfied ourselves, firstly, that the bunker did not intervene so as to tip the referee off as to the obstruction. We were very concerned about that, of course. And then there was a detailed analysis or debate about the interpretation of the rules. And we went through the local and the international rules. It has to be conceded that the rules are ambiguous, that there was merit in the NRL's position. But again, the NRL conceded as well that there was merit in our position. So I spent the rest of Thursday, Friday, and most of the weekend formulating a response to the board in terms of my legal advice. That point of view was endorsed by senior counsel, that the litigation itself would be very speculative. I'm not in a position to recommend to the West Tigers to throw good money after bad. So we just decided that we would not take it any further. I know that is a bitter disappointment to many of our fans and members, and I regret that. I can assure them that up until late Friday, Saturday, there was still a view at board level to litigate. and we were prepared to do so. But as I say, when you've got to take on board the advice that you receive, and then you've got to act accordingly. And it wasn't in the interest of the club to engage in speculative litigation, but there is a moral victory in that there has been a concession that the rules need review, and that'll be undertaken at the end of the year.
All right, Lee. Now, I'm going to move you on to another topic. I'm acting as junior counsel for Mr. Randy the Candyman, Brandy Alexander, who's been in the news lately and said a few things to Melbourne, and that upset the chairman at Melbourne and Cameron Smith and yada, yada, yada. So on it went. Could you have a look at, or listen, I understand you have examined what he actually said. Does he have a case to answer? Matt Tripp, the chairman of Melbourne, said it was almost defamatory, or may have said it was defamatory. I mean, was there anything wrong that Mr. Alexander did, the Candyman?
No, not at all. But I must congratulate Greg. It's phenomenal how he's created so much content for his own program. It's very well done.
No,
it's but no. No. The comments, in my view, are not defamatory whatsoever. There are a number of elements to defamation. You have to adequately identify the individual or the corporation. He's done that, of course. The comments were published, but were they defamatory? Even if they were, and I don't think they were, there are clear defences available to Greg. For example, justification, that is establishing that the statement was essentially true. But also, honest opinion is a defence to defamation. That is, whether the information was just an opinion, but an expression of fact, and the opinion is based on accurate sources. So I think, and Greg has done this, he's adequately, I think, explained his justification for those comments. So I don't think he's got anything to concern himself with whatsoever.
Excellent. Well, Brandy, I'm going to put in an invoice. Brandy, you have to pay me now. It's $2,500 for seeking our advice.
I know you come cheap, Andrew, but Lee might cost me a bit. So
no, anyway. I think it's the other way around, actually.
Now, Lee. Yes. Lee. Ricky Stewart.
Well, is that defamation? What was said there? Yeah. Let's go serious now.
Well, my advice would be the polar opposite. What was said by Ricky, now removing all of the emotive components to this, the explanations and justifications that have sought to be made over the last 24 hours, the comments made by Ricky on Saturday night would tick every box in order to substantiate a defamation suit. I can't readily think of any defence that would be available. I know what's been put forward in the last 24 hours, but I can't envisage how. And if we accept what we know, and as I say, we don't know everything. All we know is what we've read in the paper. But if what's being reported is accurate, I cannot envisage how the actions of an 11-year-old could possibly justify defamatory comments some 10 years later. Now, that's as I say, a purely legal analysis of what we know. So if the young man did seek legal advice, I would suspect that he would receive the advice that I've just given.
Yeah, extraordinary situation. We're sort of, Brandy and I mean, we feel as if everything has been exhausted, and that's probably the only option that would take the story any further. If the league comes down today with they've got no, it's not like they've got a handbook to go to. There's precedence at all. There's nothing to liken this to, but a fine and a one-game ban, Lee. I mean, speaking on behalf of both legally, does that seem appropriate? Is there any way we can apply any sort of legal, precedence to the league putting that sort of penalty on an action as Ricky did in his words?
No, not at all. There's no legal precedent whatsoever. It's purely discretionary. And I think what the NRL have to do is find some balance between punishing the comments and sending a message. So that it doesn't occur again. And that's obviously the point of there being a punishment, to ensure that the offender doesn't re-offend, but also send a warning to others. It's a unique situation. I've never heard remarks such as those ever in the game that I've been following now for over 40 years. They were intensely personal. The league, as I say, has a challenge now to try and find the right balance in dealing with this matter. I don't envy them, of course. But what the young man chooses to do separate to that, of course, is a matter entirely for him. But as I say, if what's being reported today and yesterday concerning the actions or alleged actions of an 11-year-old, it will not provide any semblance of a defence to a defamation suit some 10 years later.
Okay. Leichhardt Oval. Now, I watched it again last night, the collapse of the stand at the northern end, wasn't it? It was it was so lucky that no one was injured, Lee.
In the year 2022, it is embarrassing to be having a conversation about the safety of our public venues for sporting fixtures. Very lucky that someone wasn't killed. I received a report on Saturday night, and then Sunday, our CEO Justin's reached out to the council to ensure that we're kept fully informed as to their investigations. Look, I appreciate, given the work that I do, I appreciate that there are certain latent defects that are not ordinarily visible on reasonable inspection, rusting of, you know, railings and the like. I get that. However, this facility is substandard. We've made that point during the week. This did not come as a surprise to us. I've complained bitterly about the state of the stairs, the stand itself, the toilets, etc. So I'm very concerned moving forward. So there'll be a full inspection of the stadium and the grounds before our next home game in a couple of weeks. But this is all part of a bigger picture, of course, dealing with the stadium policy and the funding of these fixtures. It deserves better.
We've covered some ground today. Mr. Haji Pantelis, Brighton's lawyers, your team is there, ready to take calls. Any legal advice people need, 1800 848 848. It can be conveyancing as well. All the services you've provided, check out the website first of all at Brighton's. But the number best to keep handy in the phone, 1800 848 848. Good luck to you, Lee, to the Brighton's team and to the Tigers this weekend.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Good on you, Lee.
You're in the clear, Brandy. You're free as a bird, legally. And all ready for the Alexander Smith Cup on Thursday night when the Panthers play Melbourne 21 after 8.
Sport the Law on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy for Brighton's Lawyers. Let our team of professionals help with your legal matter.
Vossie and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.